On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we talk about the federal investigation and allegations that went on this week in the NCAA with several school coaches indicted and Rick Pitino being canned. We also preview the Buckeyes and Bearcats' upcoming games and Aaron Judge breaking the rookie home run record. We give you our NFL picks for games this weekend, including a preview of the Bengals and Browns. We end the show with a fantasy draft of our favorite sports scandals. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Thursday, September 28th, and college basketball is dead.
Before we start, Hefe, you've been off a couple shows. Is there any
hot takes that you want
to declare? I mean, I know that you've been following everything with us.
The Bengals are on fire, and I was completely right about everything with them.
Okay.
Just kidding. They
the
are
The only
awful.
Thing that you may be right about is how bad the Ravens are after that ass beating by the Jaguars.
Yes. I am hanging my hat on that being true now. I do not think that they're going to finish worse than Cleveland or the Bengals.
Yeah,
so I'm going to give them a solid second place performance in the division.
Probably not 800, but they might still get second place.
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay, so let's get into these NCAA charges. Yeah, this is really exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just declared NCAA basketball dead, but we may actually see the NCAA death penalty come up with some of these if it's as bad as what we're hearing.
And we're going to be the first to announce, so you must credit us if it or when it happens. Rick Pitino fired yesterday at their Wednesday press conference.
Yeah. We're recording this Tuesday night, so it is going to happen Wednesday at some point. I heard
If that doesn't happen, we've been hacked.
And well, my favorite part about the press conference is when they were firing him, how his accuser came out and just started beating the shit out of him. He didn't even see it coming. She hit him over the head with the shoe a couple times.
Yeah.
She finally got what was hers. Yeah.
He's into the rough stuff.
He's a glutton for punishment, the S&M stuff.
So the other schools that are involved with this are Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, USC, and then they didn't actually come out and say Louisville and Miami, but based on like the stats and everything that was in the report, that's pretty much the only two schools that it can be is Louisville and Miami in Florida.
I saw South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Well.
Okay. Was one of the ones that I said wrong?
Well, no, but when I heard USC the one time, they started talking about South Carolina as well because they said it was a a research-based university, public research-based university, over 30,000 students in the state of in South Carolina.
Yeah. Gamecocks wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I saw the article I read too. It basically was, I guess the affidavit referred to them as University 2, but they said it could literally be nobody else but South Carolina.
Yeah, and that's kind of how the Louisville and Miami thing was. It's like, that's pretty much the only school it could be.
Yeah. They said under investigation for hiring escort services for recruits or something like that.
And I did have my fingers crossed that it was going to be UK, but Louisville's just as bad. It's just as funny.
I don't know how he's lasted this long. Like,
I get it.
How has he not been, like, canned up to this point?
He didn't know anything about the... He knew nothing about the...
It's just
the
crazy that it's taken... Because when did that come out? Was it two or 3 years ago?
If you didn't hear it today, he was just absolutely floored by these allegations today also.
Had no idea.
He had no idea that...
This is the first he's hearing of any of this.
Yeah.
Which is funny. If you read any of the sanctions or the bylaws of the NCAA... The coach can be held responsible for any action of the assistant or recruiting, like anybody really.
Yeah.
Well, that would be under his wing, which is he knows about all this stuff. And
yeah,
That's the very definition of lack of institutional control. Yeah. You don't have control of your program, and not knowing is not an excuse for that. Yeah. If you don't know, you should know. So that's a problem one way or another.
You don't know, now you know, Patino.
Nice. One of the things I was reading on, I think it was a couple of tweets I saw on Twitter, so I don't know how much validity there are to them, but I guess, I don't know when it was, I don't think it was this year, maybe it was earlier this year, sometime last year, but Patino was basically bragging about a recruit that they got that signed with them, where he's like, yeah, they came and visited unofficially, they put themselves up in the hotel room, and they paid for their own meals, and so basically, like, he was bragging about how lucky he got, because they literally paid nothing for this recruit, and he came and chose the school, and now I guess it comes out that, like, they paid some AAU coach all this money, or I guess, so, like, they didn't pay directly to him, but he was bragging, and literally, I think they gave up, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars to try and get this kid. So
that's one of the things I was reading about these payments, is that, like, nothing directly happened with the athletes. It was all set up, like, through foundations and AAU coaches, just like you were saying, where they take their cut and give the rest to the player, and they end up going to a certain school because Adidas you know, wants to sign them and have them at an Adidas school, and then once they're in the NBA also be Adidas.
And that's what I was gonna say. There's a kid, I forget what his name is, he's set to declare where he's going to school next year. Tomorrow is what they had talked about. Or he's, I guess, maybe two of the schools that he's down to right now. He's expected to announce soon. And he came from all the Adidas camps, and the two final schools are Adidas schools. It's IU, and I don't remember if Tennessee's the other one. It's another Adidas school. I forget who it was. And they're like, this is a bad look right now, because everyone's going to be... If you at IU or Tennessee, I don't want to drag Tennessee's name through the mud if they weren't the other school right now.
Go ahead.
But whoever that other school, we're gonna dick Butch Jones over through the basketball program. But whoever the other school was, no matter how good this recruit is, even if you didn't do anything wrong, I just say get the hell away. Like, go somewhere else. Don't bring an investigation to us, because any program, even small programs, if they dig deep enough, they're going to find something, whether it was intentional or not. There's violations all over the place. So I would just try to stay as far away from that guy as possible.
All of this just proves that Blue Chips is the greatest movie ever made.
It's based on true story now.
This is just, it's still relevant. It's made in the 90s. If you haven't seen it, rent it.
I honestly don't know any of the plot about it.
Shaq gives an amazing performance.
Shaq,
Family Video.
Award-winning performance from Shaq.
What I was going to say is the, you know, this is more than just recruiting violations. Like, these are federal allegations. This is an FBI case.
Right.
Like, this isn't just, you know, some recruits getting money. This is stuff happening over state lines, over... over $500,000. Like, this is this is all really big stuff. People got fired from Adidas. People got fired from Nike because one of them had just moved to Nike from Adidas.
Yep.
And this is a. It's good. There's going to be more people that get thrown under the bus because of this too.
Yeah,
we're talking federal pound you in the ass prison.
But yeah, when you get the FBI involved in things like this, I mean, they're not just grasping at straws like you see sometimes, like with some of the stuff the NCAA tries to do on their own.
Burt Macklin, FBI.
There's, you know, there's definitely some substance to this, and there's going to be people that, like I said, get fired. People might go to jail for this. We could see a school end up with the NCAA death penalty, which we haven't seen.
SMU.
It's happened more recently than SMU, but not a big sport or big program. But you know who looks awesome in this right now, probably? He's probably smiling from ear to ear, is LeVar Ball. You know, he doesn't have to worry about being tied to these big big shoe companies, because he's got his own. He's his own AAU coach. So
that's right.
He's probably coming out squeaky clean in this.
I was going to say, it's hard to find a paper trail when it's just him negotiating all these things directly with the schools.
Yeah, and one of the things that I completely don't understand is how his 16-year-old is driving around in a Lamborghini when like the oldest is just barely in the NBA. And but that's the other thing. I don't know what LeVar did before this, before he was a shoe mogul, because that's what he is now. He's a mogul.
He's a reality TV star too.
I feel like he jumped from sales job to sales job.
Yeah,
he might have been one of those guys. He did cold calls.
He just wears himself out at different companies and then has to move on.
Yep, he sold Bluetooth headphones or earphones like for talking in the car for a while. Then you know he's selling. I don't know what else is the next big thing for a while there. I don't know.
Fidget spinners.
Yeah. He just seems like he goes where the money is when with his sales jobs. Be your own boss.
So there's still a lot to be seen with this investigation. You know, we're recording this Tuesday, and all of this just came out this morning. So we still don't have a ton of details on what's going to end up happening,
except for what happened at the Pitino press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We know that.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
The only thing I can say with any certainty is that by the time you listen to this on Thursday, everything that we've just talked about is going to be completely different.
Yeah, that's a guarantee. Right. That's happened multiple times. We record and then we're like, damn it.
Yeah, it turns out they were just kidding and this has all got, it was a mistake.
So sticking in college athletics, Woody, apparently there is a little bit of a beef brewing between Jim Harbaugh and the Purdue locker room, I guess.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, based on Harbaugh's comments, and really, I think Urban Meyer kind of backed him up, too. It sounds like this may be more of a widespread issue in the big... Yeah, I know, right?
Why is Urban backing that guy?
Yeah, it's weird. It makes me a little bit sick to my stomach to hear him agree with him.
Yeah.
It sounds like this is maybe a widespread issue around the Big Ten. I don't know how it is with the other conferences in college football, but essentially Harbaugh is complaining about the visitors' locker room conditions at Purdue. And some of his complaints were that, one, they didn't have any air conditioning, and I think the temperatures on the field on game day were reaching almost 100 degrees.
Yikes.
So that's kind of, they said they were running people out to the bus just to get into the air conditioning and cool down.
Holy cow.
The restrooms, they had two urinals for the entire football team, coaches, training staff, and everything. No doors or anything on them. And he said to get ventilation, you had to open the doors of the locker room. Then you have people coming by watching the guys, you know, change and stuff. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've seen a lot of movies start like that.
Well, hey, Big Blue.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I got a fullback for you.
Is Iowa's visitors' locker room still pink?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I think that's the most recent thing I remember other than this whole Purdue stuff was them complaining about the pink visitors' locker room.
And Michigan actually, like, painted or wallpapered over it at one point when they were visiting.
That was Harbaugh's first year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. One of the things that I found interesting about this was, first of all, Purdue came out and responded. I believe it was Monday, basically saying, you know, they take, you know, player safety and well-being, you know, as their prime focus, and they're saying, you know, they're shocked by these after the fact that, you know, complaints by Michigan, because I guess back in July they had somebody from their athletic department come do a walkthrough of the team facilities, and I guess one of the other complaints that Harbaugh had was like the medical abilities. They said they didn't have the ability to x-ray people in their facilities or in their, I guess, the visiting locker room. But Purdue said they do have basic x-ray if they need anything more.
I'm sure there's not a medical center far away.
Yeah,
or even
that's what
on
they
campus.
Said. Yeah, there's a medical center close if they need anything a little bit more in-depth than just a basic x-ray. And they said that there's...
Harbaugh's players shouldn't need x-rays, though, because of all the milk they drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Strong words.
So one of the things I found weird, it seems like kind of a little loophole that I guess Purdue's trying to get around, but they said, to help teams prepare in advance, our visiting team manual highlights in bold type, there is no air conditioning in the visiting locker room, with accompanying Purdue athletic staff's contact information about how to request preferred temporary accommodation. So I don't know what that means, but like... Basically, like if you ask for it, you can get put up somewhere else.
They just set up a big box fan.
Yeah, I was going to say they probably have those massive fans that like they put at the end of the hallways in schools during the summer.
Yeah.
They look like jet engines.
But on the, I guess the Big Ten coaches have like a teleconference each week, and Jeff Brohm was asked about, Jeff Brohm's Purdue's head coach, mm-hmm. he was asked about Harbaugh's comments, and he said, "It's not like you're changing in the Marriott. I haven't been in many collegiate locker rooms that are nice and comforting for opposing teams." So he just basically said, you know, quit whining about it.
Yeah, we all got to deal with it, so deal with
it. But it seems like, you know, when you get guys like Harbaugh and Urban Meyer kind of talking about it, then chances are something will probably get done eventually. It sounds like they're trying to call for the Big Ten to do some kind of conference-wide standard where, you know, obviously you're not going to be have this, like, some luxury locker room, but have it at least kind of give you the basic, you know, necessities that you need for your team to you know, be comfortable and, you know, not, I guess, I don't know. I mean,
not making it a disadvantage.
Yeah, and that's what they said. You know, it kind of comes down to gamesmanship where they're trying to get the upper hand on these teams. And you know, I guess Urban Meyer's comment was, you know, or I think it was Purdue actually. Purdue said, you know, we realize that this is no place for gamesmanship. So, I don't know. It seems like I think part of it's just Harbaugh trying to, you know, come up with reasons for why they didn't beat Purdue by as much as they wanted to. You know, maybe there's some legitimacy to it, but I don't know. I don't think it's anything new. It's not like these are just all of a sudden the locker room just kind of deteriorated. I'm sure this is something that's been going on for years.
So yeah, and once you get a loud guy like Harbaugh that this happens to, you're going to hear about it.
I'm going to back Harbaugh on this because if you've ever worn a pair of Puritan pants, they do not have any ventilation on them. The Walmart brand pants that he wears, like,
how's your chastity belt? Saving it till marriage.
Well, hopefully for Michigan's sake, when they go back to Purdue, and I don't know, are they in the same division as Purdue, or are they in the other? So they might not go back to Purdue for a while.
Yeah.
How are Rutgers locker rooms looking?
I don't know. They haven't been around long enough in the Big Ten to really get a good lay of the land for their locker rooms.
Yeah,
their team's not any good.
I didn't see the spread for this for the Buckeyes Rutgers game this weekend, but it's got to be pretty big.
Yeah, I would say 28.5 is what I just saw.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, and this is another one of those ones where I don't expect to see much out of it. I think the Buckeye starters will probably be in for maybe three quarters till it gets out of hand, and you know, you get some more backup work. But I don't expect to, again, get any resolution out of it to whether the Buckeyes are really kind of improved things that they've been needing to work on. One of the good things I saw is that they should finally have Mike Weber back and healthy. I guess he's been cleared to play. I know he tried to play a little bit early on in the season, and he kind of had a couple series, went out, and seemed to kind of retweak his hamstring. So I'd like to see him get back and get at it. You know, I've been impressed with what Dobbins has been able to do, but you know, I like Weber. You know, he did well for them last year as a freshman, and you know, he hasn't done anything to lose that position. But it's one of those situations where, you know, you get hurt, and another guy comes in and is an absolute stud. Sometimes you just get replaced. So, you know,
it's also nice to have, you know, a fresh guy that can still get you some yards when you need him. So,
I mean, you see that more and more everywhere. NFL, college, you get those tandem running backs where, or tandem duos where, you know, you don't have one feature back anymore. And that can really mess up a defense because it's hard to game plan for multiple guys. You don't know what to expect. And like you said, DB, you can get those fresh legs in there. And that really does make a difference, especially late in the game when you're trying to grind it out and run down the clock. So
those the Bengals' three-headed monster at running back has been almost unstoppable.
Yeah, that offense has been clicking on all cylinders for them.
Yep.
Except for, you know, the passing game.
Right. And the running game most of the time.
Yeah, but other than that, they've been
special
great.
Teams is
and the last two quarters of the game they just seemed to give up.
So
other than that, everything's looking good.
Yeah. OSU should make a quick work of Rutgers this weekend, and
it'll probably still be 60 minutes.
you're probably right.
Could be more. Good overtime. You never know.
Untimed downs.
That's right.
The Cincinnati Bearcats have Marshall coming into town Saturday night, which should also be another pretty good game.
Yeah.
The spread in that one is Bearcats -5, so they're favored to win. but not by a huge margin. I'm hoping that Fickell can pull out a victory here. But just like, you know, the Navy game, they stuck in it most of it, and they weren't able to pull it out. Hopefully it doesn't end like the same way that one did.
Yeah. I'll be at that game.
Oh, yeah?
I'll hopefully be sober enough to remember the second half of it. Well, maybe. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I'll be down there for that game. It's a later start time, and it's going to be nice weather, so...
Nice.
I plan on partaking in a lot of festive, you know, tailgate activities and then overpaying for beer once I'm in there.
They should have a decent crowd there, too, because they had tickets that went on sale after the Miami game. And they, I think that they're nearing a sellout for the Marshall game.
Nice. What conference is Marshall?
They're Conference USA now.
That's what I thought.
When they left the MAC, they went straight to the Conference USA.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. I think Cincinnati might have been on into the Big East before.
I think they were into the Big East.
I think they were one of the schools that were brought in to help replace. Like Louisville and UC and every other schools jumping out of the Conference USA.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I remember. I mean that.
Yeah, I think they some of those Marshall games against OU
back in the day were. Those were pretty good games. I remember being at a Marshall game our freshman year. It came down to a field goal.
Yeah.
And that was an intense game, but.
Yep.
And I know it was a close proximity to those two schools. The rivalry is pretty strong because Marshall traveled well.
Yeah, and they prefer to travel those close games where they can just take a bus, too. That way they don't have to fly.
We are.
Because players get jet lagged. And
Yeah, you know, you don't want to.
It's tough when you
crash.
Get pain.
Yeah.
So.
Really, the only other big game that I've seen this weekend is the Auburn versus Virginia Tech game with number two. Or, I'm sorry, it was... Virginia Tech versus Clemson this weekend.
Yeah.
Number two, Clemson.
Clemson's D's
going
tough.
To Virginia Tech. So we'll see if they can move anywhere away from the top 10, if they can get Clemson up against the ropes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those weeks, those in-between weeks, where I feel like we've been spoiled with good football.
Yeah.
And now this is one of those weeks where it's like, yeah, there's really not many good games on the docket in That could and all change, but...
Yeah, I was saying, that's how I felt about this past weekend, too, but you had some pretty good finishes that that made it exciting and made it worthwhile, so... Yeah. And it's, you know, maybe we'll get a big upset bid that goes down to the wire and kind of makes it exciting, so... you know, maybe Rutgers put Ohio State up against the ropes or something.
I think you're safe on that one.
So Aaron Judge is tall.
Yeah. Aaron Judge, the tallest man in baseball history, I think, right?
Yes.
Except for, like, the other five players in the league right now that are taller than him and a bunch of other players before him.
Well, he just set the record for a rookie for height, right? Was that what
his record he just set? Hit a growth spurt.
Yeah.
And, he did, as Woody alluded to. He did just break the record. He hit his 50th home run. And that is the most home runs hit by a rookie not born on Earth. Is that what it
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And I haven't checked, but, and I guess since it hasn't officially happened yet, but does anybody know what the youngest age somebody's been officially accused of steroids is? Because he's probably, you know, if he keeps his pace up, he might break that too.
Well, if you read the blog, I accused a 12-year-old a couple of months ago. So.
Yeah.
I want to know what the strikeout record is for rookies, because he had 203 strikeouts.
Spoiler alert.
Let me introduce you to Baseball Reference, and he already broke that.
Danny Almonte.
How many was it?
Actually, I don't know if he already broke it, but he might as well have in my mind, because he set the most, consecutive games with the strikeout or something like
that? Do you think that he did that just to remain possibly somewhat human?
No.
I think he did it because he sucks when he gets home runs.
I have another fun stat for you. He has the second widest tooth gap behind only Michael Strahan.
Wow.
How is his exit velocity? Because that's an important stat that matters and is real.
So, yeah, Aaron Judge is pretty impressive, even though I don't really give a shit about the Yankees. The Major League Baseball is just clamoring for a Yankees-Red Sox ALCS. And I don't know if it'll happen or not, because, you know, it's the best rivalry in sports. Did you guys know that?
No.
I heard that once, but...
Is that why they're on baseball or Sunday Night Baseball about 1,000 times a summer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Sale's good. I heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
I heard that, yeah.
Might be
Cy Young. Ooh, David Price. David Price adds an extra element to their... It's not an element. He adds an extra element to... And David Price adds an extra element to the bullpen in the postseason because he's not going to be starting most likely because he, at least that's what it sounded like the other night. Because
I heard Big Poppy's taking windups.
He has. Ooh, they can get him signed just in time for the playoffs. But no, I mean, yeah, it's cool to see Aaron Judge break a record, and I assume he's clean because by now he probably would have been popped. So, and McGuire probably wasn't juicing at the time that he hit the rookie home run record, but
he was pretty skinny.
Yeah, he probably
when in Oakland, but
yeah, it's cool to see someone like that do that. And even though he is striking out at a record rate as well, but I don't know. I'm a fan of those types of historical things, but when it sucks when it's a Yankee,
yeah.
So, as if Vegas wasn't lucky enough. This past weekend was one of the most lucrative NFL weekends in Vegas history because 10 of 13 underdogs covered the spread this past NFL weekend, this past Sunday, which is an absurd number. So 10 of 13 covered the spread, 6 beat
Favorite outright.
Yes, 6 beat the favorite outright, thank you. And that's, I mean, Vegas just cleaned up this past weekend with, you know, all the lines going towards them.
Yeah.
Which I got lucky this weekend because I slept through my typical betting hour.
Yeah.
What I do is in my typical, give you a little look into the life of Mac, I wake up way earlier than you're supposed to wake up on a weekend morning. I sit there and watch TV, mess around on my phone, laptop, whatever. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? I should probably make some plays for the football game. So I got something to look forward to when all my fantasy teams are getting destroyed and the Bengals are getting destroyed. And I actually slept through that hour this weekend. So when I woke up, it was shit. I got to get fantasy teams in order. I got to get food ready for watching football all day. And then football started. So I would have been one of those suckers that lost a ton of money this weekend too.
Did you make the white chicken chili recipe?
I did.
Ooh, fantasy draft of favorite recipes. Let's go.
Ooh. The 7-layer dip that I make. It's actually got 8 layers.
So, yeah, as if Vegas needed any more help, the underdogs all helped him out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Hefe had a very promising week last week in our NFL picks. He went 3-0. Did you place any money on those bets you made?
I did not, no.
Because you should have.
Because I'm an idiot.
Anytime you know, or anytime you see Hefe getting that many picks right, you know something weird's going on. So hopefully things return to form this week and Hefe jumps down to the cellar where he belongs. But, and we touched on it last week, this kind of just points to how unpredictable the season's been so far.
It really has been.
And it's not, again, not due to parity so much, it's just kind of bad football. So we'll see what week 4 brings us, but...
Is it bad football because all the players are pulling their quads kneeling?
Could be.
Hot take, dude. That's a first.
So we're going to pick 3 games again this week, and the first one that we got is Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Pittsburgh is -3. This is such a toss-up game for me because neither team has looked really good so far.
No.
But... I hate doing it because I hate them so much, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh minus the points. I don't think that Baltimore can hang around with them.
I'm going to piggyback off of DB right there. I think the same thing. I think Pittsburgh wins by a touchdown. I don't think that either team's all that great, but I think the Steelers are, they have more weapons offensively. And no matter how bad Ben looks one week or how bad the Steelers look, they always seem to rebound.
Yeah.
No matter how bad they are, or how bad they looked the week before.
Brown's going to try and outdo Odell's piss dog. So
right,
he's going to do something shit stupid. On him.
Shit. Yeah. So the Ravens just played in London. Now they're turning around, and They've been back for a week, but I think that sometimes can take a little bit longer to get out of your system. And they were embarrassed in London too.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. That's really hard to come back from. And you know, Flacco is not looking good right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to go with the Ravens plus the points. I actually think they win it outright because fuck Pittsburgh.
I am going to go with Baltimore just because I hate both teams. But
it doesn't
I do
make
think...
any sense.
I hate both teams. I think they're going to tie. What am I going to say? I think they're going to tie.
But you so thought the Baltimore Ravens were the worst team in the league at the beginning of the season.
I stand by that.
Now you're taking them plus three against Pittsburgh?
No, I'm just kidding.
They're going to tie, so yeah.
I already wrote it down.
I already wrote down Ravens. That's who you're taking, bitch.
Okay, well, I'm going to take the Ravens. I do think they have a bounce-back game. I do think the defense is better than 44 points. I'm going to go with jet lag, going over to London, wore him out a little bit. So
that's a home game for the Jags.
Yeah, I think it'll be a bounce back game for him.
It was a smooth move, trying to pull a Mac and taking both sides of the bet.
I'm just going to go 3-0. You guys would shit yourself if they tied.
What the fuck? Somehow went 3-3 last week. We're trying to figure that one.
Well, if they do tie, I mean that's technically the Ravens covered, so you would win that.
Yeah. Boom.
All right. Hefe, kick us off with Raiders at Denver. The Raiders are plus 2.5 points.
I, because of the home team, am going with the Broncos. I think the Broncos defense will shut down the Raiders. The Raiders didn't really look that good this past week. I'm going to take the Broncos.
Okay. I got a soft spot in my heart for Derek Carr. I think I told you guys this while we were off the air that with the Bengals doing so bad, I was going to become like a faux Raiders fan and just start wearing eyeliner. But
well, can I help you spray paint the spikes on your shoulder pad?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I accidentally cross-dressed today.
So this is how pads. DB pulls us into the world of, hey guys, I'm doing drag now.
Yeah, I'm taking the Raiders plus 2.5. I really think that their offense is explosive. Even though Denver's got a really good defense, I think that hopefully they can pull it out.
Yep. I also took the Raiders getting the 2.5 points. I think they're going to win outright. I'm along the same lines as DB. I think that they'll find a way to win by at least a field goal on the road.
Yep, I'm going to stick with that as well. I think Raiders win it outright. I think Carr goes off and bounces back from last week's performance. So looks like Hefe's the lone Bronco there.
Marshawn's going to be grabbing his dick on everybody.
I do like Carr, though.
This
I really
is a family program, DB.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I do want to state that I like Carr, so it is hard to pick against him, but I just don't think he's going
to
do it.
Don't try to take the Raiders.
The Raiders.
And to close us out here, the toilet bowl that is the Bengals-Browns game. The Bengals are -3. I'm taking the Bengals just because I think that the Browns are piss poor, and the Bengals showed a little bit of life on offense, so hopefully they can, you know, laser can keep that up and we'll see a couple more touchdowns.
Yeah, I've got the Bengals winning as well, even giving up the 3 points. I think that they win by at least a touchdown or two. I think the defense is just too good to let the Browns.
Perfect's back.
Yeah.
Yep, he sure is.
I don't see the Browns moving the ball on them that well. As decent as Kaiser's looked at times.
Yeah, I think they're going to abuse Kaiser.
They're going to abuse him, yep.
I'm obviously going to pick the Bengals. I'm the forever Bengals optimist. I think the Bengals are going to win by 3 touchdowns. I think they're going to destroy them. If they don't, and if they go 0-for into the bye week, because I know they still got one game, but I'm saying Marvin's gone.
That's kind of what Witty said last podcast, is that if...
I'm going to agree with Witty, because I listened to it, and I agree 1,000%. Marvin will be gone if they are 0-for going into the bye week.
I think even if they struggle this week and then lose to the Bills, I think he's
Paul
done.
Paul Gunther will be the interim, is my prediction.
Woody.
I'm having a hard time with this one. I really am. I want to pick the Bengals because it's only 3 points, and I think they should win this by more than that, but nothing I've seen tells me that they're going to. I mean, the Browns are also 0-3, but they haven't been getting blown out by anybody. I think they lost by 3 to Pittsburgh. They lost by 3 last weekend to, who did they play last week?
Indy,
yeah, which Indy's not very good either right now. But and then who
Ravens.
Who's this? Ravens, yeah. And that was close too, right? Or did they get blown out by the Ravens?
I think they got beat up on pretty bad by the Ravens.
It was, but I mean, it was closer than the Bengals Ravens game.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Which isn't that hard to do.
And with it being in Cleveland, I'm going to go Browns on this one. Cause I think the Bengals and Browns are splitting this year. I think they both win the home games. So I'm going to give the Browns in an ugly, ugly game. So I'm going to take the Browns plus the points.
I'm not looking forward to this game at all because my expectations for it are a loss, which I hate saying because of how bad they've played recently. And I don't want them to be 0-4, obviously, because we're all pretty big Bengals fans. But they haven't showed us anything different than misery.
I don't know. Now that I picked the Browns plus 3, I fully expect the Bengals to come out and win by like 4 touchdowns.
Can you just start doing that? Can you just start taking the other team plus the points?
I can try.
All right.
I think once you start trying to jinx a team ironically once or twice, the football gods catch on to you and it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Romo got assigned to this game. I don't think that they're going to send him to Cleveland for the Browns and Bengals.
It sounds like
I don't know what game he's doing, but he's got a critic wherever he goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Musburger has his way, Romo would be stuck on the Bengals-Browns game.
And you know, this he's from every pundit that I've heard says that Romo's been doing a pretty good job. Even fans have been saying that they like the way he's been doing it.
Yeah.
But Musburger being a pro that he is and not taking shit from anybody, kind of called him out.
Yeah.
Well, I think Musburger's a little mad that he's not talking about the gambling lines in covert language.
Yeah, right.
He's more focused on the games and play calls. And he's not wrong in some of his comments where the longer he's out of the league, the more out of touch he's going to be with what's going on the field. But for now, and a guy that's trying to get his footing, I think he's great. I think it's great for what he's doing. Now, if he's doing it in 10 years and getting everything wrong, then you got some cause to call him out there.
But. Right. Yeah, and I think right now, I think the reason so many people find it so endearing is just the novelty of it. You don't really see that a lot with any other guys. You know, they kind of just something call it new. Like it is. And, you know, some of the broadcasters do have, you know, NFL experience, but you don't see them breaking things down like Romo's been doing. And again, I think Musburger kind of sees past that and sees it for what it is. That's not something that Romo's going to be able to build a broadcasting career on, because he's only going to have that insight for so much longer. And as the games change, or as the game changes, as personnel changes, it's going to be less and less relevant, that insight. So he's going to actually have to analyze things as they happen instead of, you know, predicting things and calling out plays as he would see it as a quarterback. So if he doesn't get on that, then he might kind of fizzle out in his broadcasting career, maybe a short-lived one.
So when do we think that Cutler leaves mid-game and goes into the broadcast booth?
I don't know. I'd be interested to see what Musburger's take would have been on Cutler had Cutler got.
Cutler, I think, would have been so bad.
If you think Romo got thrown under the bus, that would have been a slaughter. Yeah.
And I think the further along Romo goes, you're starting to see him make jokes. He made the massage joke that was kind of weird. But you can see that he's kind of trying to open up a little bit. And I've been one of those people that is kind of up in the air on Romo, because I do enjoy that he, you know, tells you what's going on, but at the same time, it is kind of dry. But I'd still rather listen to him do that than listen to Collinsworth for a second on a broadcast. So
one of the things that Musburger said was that Romo was kind of stepping on the toes of Nance.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the things that I saw pointed out on Twitter, is that Romo doesn't have like a clear cadence yet with his commentary. And he's kind of just, you know, murky waters on when he's going to chime in with things. And that's really throwing Nance off.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and you can see it a little, or you can hear it in the broadcast where Nance almost doesn't know if he can start talking because Romo's done, or if he doesn't know if Romo's going to just interject himself into the conversation that mm-hmm. he's when he's trying to do the play-by-play. They'll get it down. I mean, they didn't really... I mean, they're only three games into the NFL season, and they only ran a couple test runs during the preseason, so I don't think you can expect too terribly much from a guy that just quit playing last year, but
mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, I don't know, maybe Musburger's a little bummed that someone else is getting props thrown his way right out of the gate, where Musburger probably took a while to get any sort of... And I wondered about that when he got the marquee job on CBS's broadcast.
Yeah.
Straight off the field. You've got guys that have probably been waiting in line. And Phil Sims, it wasn't like Phil Sims was like, you know, I'm done announcing games. They just were like, Phil Sims, you suck. Like, yeah. You're going back to...
Yep, pretty much.
We don't feel like firing you because we don't want to deal with all that, so we're just going to send you back to the studio and make it really awkward.
Yeah. So I've seen people speculate on this, kind of what's going to happen with Romo this year, and I'm going to take it one step further. What I really, really want to see... is Romo calling a Cowboys game and Dak going down with an injury in that game and Romo coming down from the broadcast booth and finishing the second half and winning and then leading the Cowboys to the Super Bowl. And Milliron Sports gets the rights to that movie. So when it happens, sorry, it's ours.
Yeah, breaking news.
I can already see it after he scores the game-winning touchdown. He just points back up to the booth. It's going to be beautiful.
So there's been a lot of bad news in L.A. Regarding football, about attendance and, you know, just the teams being crappy, except for, the Rams have been a pleasant surprise. But the Chargers are not very good, and they continue to play poorly. But one of the things that I saw I know that Max said he saw it at the beginning of the season, but there has been an update on it, is that there's a restaurant in San Diego that is giving away free tacos whenever the Chargers lose. And this is going to end up being a very poor business decision by this person, because they are going to lose a lot of money this year by giving out tacos.
This story gives me inspiration and hope, because I really, really hope when the Bengals finally move from Cincinnati that Skyline throws together a promotion like this.
Free conies.
And yes.
Did I just steal what you were going to say, Woody?
No, but I love that idea.
So when the Bengals go to St. Louis to replace the team that left St. Louis the first time, or when the Bengals become LA's third team, or Vegas' second team, you never know.
Or Canada's first team.
Canada's first team, yeah. Yeah, can you imagine trying to cross the border with some of the guys the Bengals have?
I don't know. I mean, shit, Adam Jones from the frickin' Orioles got stopped because of Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's like
if you guys remember that, but it happened.
Try to cross the border with 53 guys, you get to Canada with 40,
and that's how you get the Canadian Football League.
That's right. Yeah.
And yet they want Manziel to play up there.
Yeah. Oh man, can you imagine if Manziel got a hold of those Tylenol threes up there?
Trent Richardson is trying to make a comeback, playing in the CFL now too. That was
now, will he get his gold jacket for the Canadian Football League?
I was going to say, is it an NFL hop? It's just pro football.
So.
It's a silver jacket in Canada.
Silver jacket.
It's their second best.
It's just plaid.
Yeah. Plaid. Yeah.
It's just a flannel jacket with that black lining. But no, I don't know. You say they could lose some money, but I know that
they're probably going to bring in a ton of people.
I was going to say, people in Cincinnati know the whole LaRosa's 11 strikeouts deal, where if the Reds get 11 strikeouts at a home game, everyone that has a ticket gets a free small pizza.
Yep.
And I know that Buddy LaRosa, you know, the namesake of LaRosa's Pizzeria, has said that that's the best business decision they've ever made, because it brings in so much money with people ordering $40 worth of food just to get that free pizza.
Yeah, that's small.
And it's almost a tiebreaker when they're trying to decide where to order pizza from.
So yep.
Very few people just take that ticket and say, give me my small pizza and leave.
That's what I do.
Which I am one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those people with you, Witty, where
I usually toss on a couple other things too. I'll spend like 10 or 12 bucks just to get my free pizza.
So now you got me thinking, Mac, with... You know, I'm rooting for the Bengals to leave town now, because I want free Skyline.
I'm just afraid it'll be Gold Star, since that's what they sell at the stadium.
Oh, God.
In which case, I mean, I'd lose a lot of weight because that stuff would just make me shit my brains out for about a year because it's trash.
Speaking of trash, D. Wade is signing in Cleveland.
Fun times in Cleveland today.
Yeah, I just love the people that think this puts them right up there with the Warriors.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those takes online where people are saying, "Oh yeah, now they should be able to compete with the Warriors and possibly beat them." And I don't know, like maybe D. Wade like 4 or 5 years ago gives the Cavs that boost, but. Yeah. He's shown me nothing at this point that says he's anything but a shell of what he used to be. So I don't know what they're expecting, but I said this earlier. You've got a washed up Dwayne Wade. You've got a washed up Derrick Rose. You know, you've got Isaiah Thomas who's battling injuries.
He's a question mark.
Yeah.
So I think the Cavs are worse than they've been in probably the last 3 or 4 years. I don't know if there's anybody else in the East that still can compete with them, but I don't think that they can match up well with anybody that they'd see coming out of the West.
So, I mean, if you're going to sign two big free, big free agents between Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade for a combined less than $4 million or right at $4 million total between the two, I don't think that they're really going to, and it's not like they're taking hometown deals like you saw with Kevin Durant did, but his was still far more than that.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like this isn't, I'm taking a cut in pay just so we can have a competitive team. This is their market value. Like, people weren't knocking down the door to try to get Dwayne Wade to come to their city.
Right.
No. And same thing with.
I mean, you think, too, is, what would their role be if they were on the Warriors? They'd be sitting on the bench.
They wouldn't even
be playing. So how does that all of a sudden make you better than the Warriors?
The fact that two players wouldn't even play at the end of the bench.
Yeah.
And he was a starter. I mean, Swaggy P's a decent player. Like he's
okay. He was decent for the Lakers. I hated all the ways that he shot the ball just constantly. Yeah. And actually, so NBA Media Day was this past week. Mm-hmm. And Swaggy P was like, someone asked him, if it comes down to you, Steph, and KD taking the last shot, who's taking it? And Swaggy P was going to say, he said, I'm taking it, and I'm going to act like I didn't see those motherfuckers open.
Did you see the tweet on Bulls Media Day? It was a who's this guy? One of the dudes rolled in with like his leg and a boot, and the other guy didn't even have a name on his jersey. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, there was some of the big like the pictures of like this is our squad for the year, and I was like, don't know him, I don't know his name.
Yeah, it looks like one of those generic promos where they just get some like actors because they couldn't get the actual like players to show up, but they needed like someone to put on the jersey.
Yeah,
and I know that. I don't know the exact how it worked out, but I saw one tweet that said Dwayne Wade paid the Bulls $8.6 million to skip their media day just to go sign for like $2.3 million.
Wow.
With the Cavs. So I don't know if that means like, that's the money he forfeited by not being on the roster or not reporting. I don't know what, but like that's how bad he wanted out of Chicago.
Another funny thing I saw at NBA Media Day was J.R. Smith. He said that like LeBron's been bugging him all summer. Like he would call me at like 6:30 in the morning and be like, "Hey, what are you doing?" J.R. Smith's like, "I'm obviously sleeping."
Yeah. He's got like a newborn kid.
Yeah.
He's like, "Screw you, bud." Fucking LeBron. He's such a tryhard.
I think that the Cavs will probably come out of the East.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of competition. Boston will be decent. But they're going to be the ones out of the East. The West is going to be crazy this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I'm excited for basketball to start up. The Lakers actually have their first preseason game Saturday, so I probably won't pay any attention to it, but basketball's almost back, and I'm getting a little chub. So this past week has just been fraught with NCAA scandals and charges being brought against multiple schools, multiple teams, and our fantasy draft this week is of our favorite sports scandals. So with that in mind, Witty is up first.
So kicking it off, my first pick in our fantasy draft of sports scandals, I'm going to go with one that it's a case that's always fascinated me, and we touched on it a little bit earlier in the show, but the SMU death penalty, because I think it was one of those things where it had come up before, but never for a big program. SMU had kind of made themselves into a little bit of a powerhouse back then. And I think the conference was like the Big Eight back then at that point.
Yeah, it was something weird.
All the Texas schools. And
this was like the mid-80s, right?
It was 1985 is when they got the death penalty. And I think that I'm trying to think exactly what it was. They basically had to shut down for like a year, and then they lost like a certain amount of scholarships for the next however many years. But they were kind of, again, they were a powerhouse at that point. And in the 20 plus years since they got that death penalty, I think they had one winning season. And it basically led to the breakup of the Big Eight Conference because, teams weren't, I guess a lot of it had to do with like the revenue of, not having them on the schedule and, not having, I guess, that marquee matchup, and it really broke that up, and it led to some of the conferences that you have now. That program never came back. And
there's a pretty good 30 for 30 on the SMU death penalty.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite 30 for 30s. And I actually first found out about this, I guess, a kid reading the Rick Riley page at the back of Sports Illustrated. Yes. Back when he was with Sports Illustrated, he had one about
SMU's
death penalty. Yeah, and ever since that, I've just been fascinated with this whole case. And there's been a few times since then where they've been close to giving teams a death penalty, but after seeing how much havoc it wreaked on that team, they haven't gone to that extreme yet. And again, we may see that with some of these things coming out with the NCAA basketball teams, but I think probably the next closest they've had recently would have been the stuff going on at Baylor.
Yeah.
And I think at one point Kentucky basketball was possibly in it back in, I forget when it was, but I don't think they ended up, even coming close to it. But
no.
But yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Fun fact, just you mentioning Rick Riley reminds me, I still get Sports Illustrated, the hard copies, every week.
Yeah.
And just out of habit, sometimes I will just flip straight to the back, not even thinking about it. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Not even. Yeah, it sucks. It reminds me of what used to be so great about Sports Illustrated.
So I have the next pick after Witty. And mine is actually something, a future scandal. It hasn't happened yet, but it will. And that is John Calipari having to vacate his wins at Kentucky because of recruiting violations. And it's already happened at the two schools that he used to be at, which is UMass and Memphis. He had recruiting violations at both of those schools after he left. So I would look for in the next couple of years when he moves on to the NBA to have, the allegations come out and be 100% true that he did some illegal stuff.
How are the Lakers going to handle that, DB, when they have to explain Calipari's NCAA violations?
Do you know who the Lakers head coach is right now?
No.
It's Luke Walton.
Boom.
Oh, AKA the best thing to ever happen to LA. We don't need John Calipari.
To be funny.
He's going to the Pelicans because that's where Rondo and
that
Anthony,
is Kentucky. Yeah, that is Kentucky's professional team.
It's Kentucky South if Kentucky isn't South enough.
Yeah, Kentucky's too South as it is. But.
Yeah. Kentucky East. So that's what I'm sticking with. John Calipari eventually vacating wins at Kentucky.
I definitely see that.
Hefe, you're up.
Definitely.
1,000% agree.
I am going to go, and it's because I talked about Blue Mountain State before the show started, with one of my favorite Blue Mountain State episodes that reminds me of one of my favorite scandals, and that's the Nevin Shapiro with the illegal gifts. I know Mac remembers the episode well where Sammy is getting illegal gifts for all the Blue Mountain State players, because I love when Thad has like the two or three watches on. And he does the little Michael Jackson move in the locker room. Nevin Shapiro, he got all the illegal gifts for Miami. That's one of the crazier ones I remember from the last, you know, several years. Yeah, that's my first pick.
Well, as expected, my scandals are more of a smear job on people I despise. So I had to find things about people that I hate, and I knew most of these things, so I did a little more digging. And my first one was LeBron's high school Hummer. He, as an 18-year-old, got a birthday gift from his mom, who, and not to, this is not a knock on their financial situation, but they were living in public housing at the time. And LeBron shows up to school with a $50,000 custom H2 Hummer. It had three TVs with hookups for video games. It sparked an investigation by the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And they traced it back, and the car was in his mom's name, and they said that it was done through a loan with the collateral. I mean, LeBron James being the
earnings or something like that. Yeah,
which that still is pretty shady, and I don't know. I still feel like there had to be somebody else behind that saying, you know, this is what he's going to get when he gets out of high school. I think at that point it was already decided that he probably wasn't going to college, so there wasn't a risk of ruining his NCAA eligibility. I remember that when that was going on, we were in high school at the same time. So I remember thinking, I mean, we were a year or two younger than LeBron, but
one year.
But I remember when that was going on, when he was in high school, just thinking like how badass that would be to show up with a Hummer like that with the TVs and stuff in it. But yeah, that was one of my favorite, I don't know. I still think that's a big black mark on LeBron's legacy that people don't talk about enough. My second one is, this could go down a dark road, so I'm going to try to keep it clean. Big Ben gets handsy. So, not to make light of rape allegations, but it happened twice in 2 years for this motherfucker. And when where there's smoke, there's fire. He got out of it scot-free twice, where 2009, there was a woman in Lake Tahoe when he was there for a celebrity golf tournament, said that he did some things. I think he lured her by saying his TV wasn't working in the room. And
Jesus, and
that's
basically, so
creepy. Yeah.
That's
such a Big Ben move.
Yeah,
that's a remote control.
So horrible.
And I think that got settled out of court. And then in 2010... Ben was in a nightclub in Georgia with a 20-year-old who obviously was not old enough to drink, and it was well documented that he was forcing shots on everybody in the group, including this girl. And then Big Ben and his bodyguard took the girl off, and the bodyguard came back. Ben stayed back there. Nobody really knows what happened there, but maybe the smoking gun in this whole case is he actually obtained Ray Lewis's defense attorney that defended him in the murder case. So if that's the kind of attorney that you're hiring, chances are you knew you did something bad. So he's just scum. I think he got suspended eventually by the NFL for all of this stuff. But
did the lawyer get him off if the girl couldn't?
Oh.
If the condom don't fit, you must acquit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big Ben is
baggy
condoms
on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Ben's a scumbag. Breaking news.
Yeah. It's first reported by Miller and Sports.
Going on to my second pick. I'm going to also go with a future scandal that I think is going to come out when we realize that San Diego State, that chicken pox are a performance enhancing body. They're 4-0 right now. Chicken pox broke out before the year started, and they just so happen to be undefeated. So I think you're going to find out that chicken pox actually enhanced performance.
They were pox doping?
Yep, pox doping. Seems like they got over it pretty fast.
Yo, bro, you want to pick my scabs?
It's bonding. It's team bonding.
It's team bonding.
We'll take tomato soup baths together.
Maybe that was the San Diego State's way of getting around some of the restrictions that they have on like practice times and how much time you can spend with the team. They kind of said, well, you know, they weren't, you know,
they were quarantined.
I was going to just say we let them all play together because they had chicken pox and so they couldn't do anything else. So they, you know, they chose to play football during that time, but you know, we had nothing to do with it.
I'll just be pretty blunt with my next pick. Brett Favre's dick.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate time for Brett Favre.
His legacy had already kind of gone downhill. He spent some time with the Jets, and then he moved on to the Vikings, and it was a rough time for Brett. And then, you know, his penis got out there, and he started taking even more flack.
Yeah, I was just, if you're going to pick a Brett Favre scandal, you could also just go with his, you know, painkiller addiction, but I guess this, you know.
I'm more of a penis fan. I don't know if you knew that.
No that journalistic NFL, integrity.
I was going to say, at that point in the NFL, painkillers were like candy.
Yeah.
They just dish those things out like crazy.
Yep.
But marijuana is bad, guys.
It is bad. Oh, man, you better not smoke a joint and kneel at the same time.
All right, I've got two back-to-back. I'm trying to think which two I want to go with. So this first one, it's something that I absolutely, you know, I admire the hustle here. And when I say hustle, I mean like a hustle, like you're hustling somebody. So 1980 Boston Marathon. Rosie Ruiz, you know, she finishes the marathon, first place in the women's division. You know, I guess at that time they thought she broke the women's record for a marathon.
By like 25 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody noticed that, you know, she really didn't seem to have broken that much of a sweat. She talked about how she just barely like started training not that long ago.
Her resting heart rate was in like the hundreds. Yeah. I mean, like, none of the traits of a runner did she have.
So it turns out that a few people came out and said they saw her run out of the crowd less than a mile to go from the finish. So she kind of just, you know, basically jumped in at the end and said, "Oh yeah, I finished the marathon." And I guess apparently she had ran the New York City Marathon earlier that year, or the year before. And she had a relatively decent time. I think she finished in the mid-20s, but I guess it turned out that she did the same thing there as well, where she kind of hopped on the subway and jumped on at the end and came out and acted like she finished. So I absolutely love that move. If I was in a marathon, I would absolutely do that. So kind of getting off topic, but sort of jumping a little bit back to the taco thing earlier we talked about was San Diego. It reminded me of something I recently saw on Twitter where a lady walked a 5K and stopped at every single taco place that she saw along the way. That woman is my absolute hero. So
that's awesome.
Anytime
so Mac
you can,
ran a
5K.
You can,
anytime you can incorporate laziness or fatness into some kind of, you know, running event, I'm all for it.
So I got two things to add on to the Boston Marathon thing. So this wasn't one that I added onto my list. This lady still to this day does not admit to, you know, she still claims that that's her time and she ran the whole thing.
Yep.
And she also, when people like asked her why she did so much better, she said she just woke up with a lot of energy.
She had her Wheaties, baby.
Another fun fact about her is several years later, she got caught stealing about $60,000 from the real estate company that she worked for. And then several years after that, she got busted trying to sell cocaine to an undercover cop. Yeah, so she
seems like a really good person.
Yeah, she is. Like I said, I admire her hustle. She's definitely a go-getter, self-starter. And, you know, when she wants something, she goes and gets it. So I admire her. And I think everybody should aspire to be like Rosie. So, wrapping up, jumping into the third round with my final pick, I am going to go with I'm going to go with the Black Sox scandal. I think that's one that obviously that's near and dear to all of our hearts because that happened to be the first World Series that the Reds won back in 1919. Yeah, I know. I mean, I remember watching those, or I guess listening to those games on the radio.
Getting the update in the paper the next morning.
Yeah, on the wire. Yeah. So the Black Sox were accused of throwing games for financial gain in that World Series, which I think I hate this because it makes it feel like people think that the Reds shouldn't have won that World Series, and I know nothing about baseball in the year 1919. I don't know if the Reds should have beaten the White Sox that year or not, but I feel like it always has that stigma now, like, oh, the Reds didn't really win that World Series. The Black Sox, or the White Sox, they threw it, and that's why they lost.
Shoeless Joe was one of the guys that was a member of the eight that got banned from baseball for life. But if you look at his numbers in that series, he was one of the guys that they were like, well, we're not sure if he was trying to throw it or not, because he hit like 500 in the World Series. It's like, was he trying to throw it or was he falsely accused?
Yeah. Yep. SMH.
All right. So my last pick, to put it bluntly, Tiger Woods' dick. Not only the dick pics that recently got released that we've talked about, but he can't keep his dick in his pants either. I think this all unfolded in 2009 or 2010 around Thanksgiving when he got arrested. Was he arrested?
I don't think he got arrested that time. He just got in the wreck when his wife chased him down with the club.
Yeah, so his wife was pissed off. She went through his phone and found some sex messages and text messages between him and a couple people.
Yeah,
and
then one of my favorite South Park moments.
So after like we found out that Tiger was cheating, like 11 other women came forward and said that they slept with him during his marriage to Edelin. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tiger Woods dick. He's out there. You can Google it if you want.
I'd say that he looks better than Brett Favre does in the whole dick pic release.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Future scandals that make Mill Iron Sports famous. DB's dick.
It's out there. You can just Google it.
Bringing it to my third pick, I'm going to go with Manti Te'o's truly secret admirer. the girlfriend that does not exist. Still one of the weirdest scandals I think we've seen. It seemed kind of like a joke at first, but then it got like kind of dark. It sounded like he might have sent money, I think, at one point, or I don't know exactly all the particulars to it. I just remember thinking it was the weirdest thing ever.
He got catfished.
Yeah,
pretty much. Or
he got catfished before there was a show.
I think he catfished people into thinking that he was getting catfished. Wasn't there something? Because she died, right? And
she died. Yeah.
Supposedly died.
He made that up, or
it was a weird scandal.
Some guys were messing with him.
I need Nev to tell me what happened.
I think guys were messing with him, and it just got out of control, and they got in too deep to the point where, like, there's no out. This guy is, like, we've got him hook, line, and sinker. This isn't what they had anticipated, and I don't know who came up with the her dying, him or the people that were doing this to him. So I think they've talked to the guys, haven't they, that did the whole thing?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember.
It was just a very strange.
Yeah, that was weird because scandal. It was all over. I remember them playing a night game. It was like the night after she died or the week that she died, and everybody was like, "Wow, what an inspirational story! This guy's actually stepping." And then you found out that they had never really met, and then that's when you found out that she never existed, which that's still so funny.
Crazy.
Those jokes never get old either. I still laugh at them whenever I come across Manti Te'o girlfriend jokes.
Yeah, every once in a while there'll be one that catches me off guard, and I just laugh my ass off.
All right, well now while we're on the topic of things that are totally real and not made up at all, I'm gonna go with the Montreal Screwjob. This happened at the 1997 Survivor Series in Montreal. It's a little backstory for people out there. Brett the Hitman Hart was leaving WWE, well, WWF at the time, to go to WCW. And Vince McMahon was not going to let him leave the champion. And they couldn't really figure out a way to let him lose the title, save face, go to the competing company. And they had all agreed to just let it be a disqualification. And then the next night on Raw, they'll award the belt or leave the belt open for somebody else. Well, behind the scenes, Vince McMahon instructed the referee. There was a spot in the match that was set up where Shawn Michaels was going to use. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart had a rivalry in real life and in wrestling. They didn't get along very well in real life, and their characters didn't get along either. So Shawn Michaels was going to use Bret the Hitman Hart's signature move, the sharpshooter, on him at some point in the match. And they were supposed to get out of it, and the match was going to continue. The ref was instructed to call it as if Bret the Hitman Hart had tapped out with his own move. And that's how it ended. That's how the match ended. So the title shifted. The title went to Shawn Michaels. And Bret the Hitman Hart really didn't have anything to say because he was going to the new company.
Right.
And it's one of the... even if you're not a wrestling fan, watching the match itself unfold, because supposedly Shawn Michaels wasn't in on the whole secret. Bret Hart wasn't in on the secret. The whole thing was just mayhem, and even the announcers were scrambling at the end, like, we don't know what to do because we were told how the match was going to end. And it led to a fight backstage where Bret Hart actually punched Vince McMahon in the face and knocked him over. And this was all, it was off camera, it wasn't scripted, anything like this. And it took a long time for them to make amends and Bret Hart actually to come back and to do anything with Vince McMahon ever again. Even though it's in a scripted entertainment, it was a scandal because it was in the news for a long time. I remember even at that time, we were only 10 or 11 years, or about 11 years old. But I remember when it happened, and Bret the Hitman Hart spit at Vince McMahon from the ring. And so, it's crazy to watch.
I was such a Bret Hart fan. I was so upset.
Yep. Yeah. So that was my final one that didn't have anything to do with anybody I despise, because I was a big Bret the Hitman Hart fan.
Yeah. So one scandal you don't want to get wrapped up in is missing out on the Natty Boys podcast. We keep generating top-notch quality content, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review, 5 stars only. Tell your friends as well. Get them to subscribe and download the podcast. Check us out at MillIronSports.com. Follow us on Twitter at MillIronSports and follow us on Facebook.com/MillIronSports.
Thanks for listening. Bye. And RIP Rick Pitino.
See you guys.
Bye, guys.